BP announces a $9 billion sale.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. The British oil giant BP is paying an enormous amount of money to clean up and compensate those affected by the disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. It's already spent $4 billion toward that end, not to mention the huge escrow account asked for by the White House. Now it's looking for ways to find money to pay those costs by selling some of its assets. The BBC's Rebecca Singer is with us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
So what has BP sold?
Well, they've agreed to sell a range of oil and gas fields in Texas, southwest New Mexico, western Canada, and even Egypt. Now, they're selling them to a US company called Apache. And they've been referred to as mature fields. Basically, BP reckons they're past their peak. But actually, Apache is well known for buying up these types of fields and boosting their production.
And how valuable, Rebecca, were these fields, I mean, these assets to BP's future growth?
Well, by no means are these core assets, and they don't represent, their sale doesn't represent a major restructuring of the company in any way. And even $10 billion isn't a huge amount for BP. But Robert Talbot, who's the chief investment officer at Royal London Asset Management, now they're one of BP's major shareholders, he admitted that this was a forced sale to some extent, and because of the Gulf of Mexico spill, BP wouldn't have got the best price.
Their negotiating position was probably a lot less strong than it would have been 6 months ago. It wasn't a great hand to play, actually. But I think the price is reasonable, but it's not as good as you might have expected.
Now, some analysts have been surprised at how quickly they've done this sale, although they did announce it a couple of weeks ago. But they do still need government and regulatory approvals before they can be completed.
The BBC's Rebecca Singer reporting from London for Marketplace. Rebecca, thanks.
You're welcome.
President Obama signs the financial reform bill into law today. The law does not include any punishment for excessive banker pay. At the same time, a tax introduced in the UK last year to curb the size of bankers' bonuses is creating a windfall for the British government. And it turns out American banks are paying the bulk of it. Christopher Worth explains.
U.S. banks with operations in the U.K. have already forked out about $2 billion in taxes aimed at limiting excessive pay. That's more than half the government has raised so far and is weighing on banks' earnings. Goldman Sachs just announced it's paying $600 million to the British government. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with Seven Investment Management.
The U.S. banks are actually the ones who are involved most in the investment banking side. There are relatively few in comparison of the British banks. So what you were seeing was the Americans looking at though they were being significantly disadvantaged, but it wasn't by way of nation, it was by way of the nature of their business.
The tax is meant to be a one-time event, but Urquhart-Stewart says that with tougher regulations being introduced in the U.S. with the reform of Wall Street, he expects the British government to consider making some form of the tax permanent. And for a British government starved of cash, having that extra money certainly wouldn't hurt. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are higher at the moment, 1% to 2%. Asian shares closed slightly higher today. Wall Street yesterday, stocks added just a little bit of value. The NASDAQ and S&P were up more than 1%. The Dow tacked on 75 points to close at 10,229.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by LendingTree.com, tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
We got a report this week about spending on home entertainment. The LA Times says an industry trade group's numbers show sales of DVDs down. But the newer format Blu-ray is making some inroads. The release of the blockbuster hit Avatar certainly didn't hurt that cause. James Cameron's epic was the biggest Blu-ray launch ever. Avatar may be the new thing in movies, but as reporter Sarah McBride explains, when it comes to Blu-ray, what's old is new again.
That's the sound of King Kong fighting a monster lizard, then chasing Fay Wray in the 1933 classic. It's also the sound of Warner Brothers getting another crack at its vintage titles. The studio remastered Kong, threw in some extras, and is re-releasing it in September on Blu-ray. Ben Herndon's a producer at the cable channel Reels. He's also a movie buff and snaps up titles like this.
The thing about a restored DVD is it's the best it's ever going to look.
On a remastered version of The Wizard of Oz?
It's so good and it's so sharp. You can count the freckles on Judy Garland's nose.
Herndon owns over 1,000 movies on DVD and Blu-ray. He and guys like him are doing what naysayers scoffed at a few years ago, upgrading favorites from DVD to higher quality Blu-ray discs. At last count, just over 10% of households owned Blu-ray players. That's expected to jump to half of households in 3 years. The change is creating a big opportunity for studios to re-release their classics.
This little flurry that you're noticing is going to become a flood pretty quickly.
That's Tom Adams, an analyst at Adams Media Research. He says classic movies hit the sweet spot of the biggest Blu-ray buyers, men with good incomes and fancy TVs. And the profits are irresistible.
These are films that came out, you know, decades ago. We're into profits probably also decades ago. So the only cost now are the remastering and the manufacturing at a couple of bucks a disc at this point.
Warner's releasing The Exorcist in time for Halloween, and Disney classics like Fantasia will be out by the end of the year. I'm Sarah McBride for Marketplace.
And finally, you really can't blame Cleveland Cavalier fans for being a little bitter. Their star basketball player, LeBron James, a native and lifelong resident of Ohio, picked up and left the Buckeye State to play for Miami. Now, former fans are purging all things LeBron, items they've collected over the years, such as number 23 jerseys, T-shirts, and shorts. A restaurant chain is even offering to donate those items to homeless shelters in South Florida. One of the organizers says, it's just like any breakup. You want to give all your stuff back. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Like the music you hear on the Morning Report, you can check it out and even buy it at our website, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.